I guess I should have asked of the earlier witnesses is, who came up with these figures? You know, what are the reasons behind it? Some of the questions that Representative Young asked of the compiled effect of some of these fines and bail and all that. I'm traveling down the same road you are. I see kind of the double and possible triple whammy effect in some cases. Personally, I think this is an unreasonable request established in this bill, and I just want to be noted as a no vote if we ever come to a work session.
The problem, sir, what is your solution to it? And the problem, as I see it, is that you have a relatively low fine for a relatively low overweight, and then both under the, well, even more so under the proposal, we're really going to sock it to people that go substantially overweight. If we don't do that, what do we do as a deterrent? Because apparently it pays to be a little overweight.
Can I give you my theory on that?
Yes.
I feel as though a man that's loading up 1,000 pounds in my company, I'm saying, if he's 1,000 pounds over or close to it, I think he's doing a very good job. If he's 5,000 pounds over, he's a violator. And no matter what we do with our fines, we aren't going to stop the violators out there. There are people that ran through the state of Oregon 15 years ago that hauled 100,000 pounds from here to Nevada and Utah, and I know it personally. These people are violators, are going to violate no matter what our fines are, and they aren't going to get caught.
Okay, one question, and maybe I should ask it to them. What about just simply saying if you're overweight, you do not move until you're in compliance with the weight system? And to heck with the fines and all of that, just simply say if you're 1,000 pounds overweight or whatever the break is, that fine, it just sits there until that problem is taken care of, or until you pay a substantial overweight penalty. And by substantial, I'm not sure some of these overweight penalties are substantial, but why in the world would I want a truck that is damaging the highway to be allowed to move on down the road?
You wouldn't. I think it's what I'm saying. The legitimate operator isn't going to violate the laws, but we have people out there that aren't legitimate that are going to violate it no matter how much you make the fine, and we aren't going to catch them.
And well, how do we miss them?
Excuse me.
How do we miss them?
How do we miss them? I'd be giving away a lot of secrets of the trade. I really don't know, but I know they do it all the time.
But what is wrong with the idea of simply saying you don't move until you correct the problem? In other words, you're parking at the Wilson or the Woodburn station and just say you call somebody else from your company, they bring out another truck, they offload onto the other truck, and when they're both in compliance, you move down the road, and until that time, walk back to Woodburn and wait in the coffee shop.
That's called legalizing by these people. No, I think it's a good idea, within reason. I think a person, if you're 5,000 pounds over, then I think legalization should start in. But then you get into the problem with the State Industrial Accident Commission. Are you going to allow me to take the wrappers off from a load of lumber that's questionable? If you take them off, it might fall off and hurt somebody. Are you going to let them take a wrapper off of a load of logs and legalize it at this point?
Mr. Chair. Representative Peterson, then Representative
Pajati. I thought I heard you say somewhere in your testimony earlier on that you don't want fines leveled by weight. If you said that, I guess I'm following up a little more on Representative Young's question. How would you see fines being?
Well, I think they should be on weight.
Oh, you do? Maybe I just
I do, but do you need to have a little room to work in there?
Okay, and one other question. You explained something that I wasn't aware of, that it's the company that gets the fine and not the driver.
Eventually.
Is that something that's in statute? I mean, in Oregon law, and why does that happen?
I guess I'm stating from our experiences, the driver gets the ticket, the driver doesn't pay the ticket, and eventually they come back to the company, and the company could lose their operating permit if the fines were not paid.
If there are a few, if I may, Mr. Chair, a few 30,000 people driving overweight vehicles, if the law were changed to make that individual responsible, and I'm just sort of throwing this out as an idea, would that be any sort of deterrence? I mean, if someone working for you actually had to pay the fine or couldn't continue working.
I think that's where it should be. I think that's where a lot of our problem lies, is that legitimate companies don't send people out there to overload. They don't send them out to the work over hours or anything like that. But when the fines come in, or the tickets, the citations, they come back to the owner of the company.
And one more, if I may. If you have a citation issued to one of your drivers, say, several times, three or more, do you generally let that individual go, or do you counsel them, or?
In our company, we pay the fines. If you get a $1,000 ticket, we will pay the fine. If you get anything over 3,000 pounds, it belongs to the driver. And if you got three or four of them, well, he would be dismissed.
Thank you.
Representative John. John, you mentioned something about you were over on the coast, and you were weighed, you got over on the inlet, and you found out that you were overweight, but you weren't on the other side. Is
right.
Are you saying the scales aren't
there's there? A discrepancy between the scales on it. They're just machinery.
Well, I guess what I'm getting at is that we have scales in our elevators that we use, and we're so controlled by the state on having those accurate. If there's 2,000 pounds difference between a scale over there and a scale over here, and somebody is not doing the job on checking those scales, because I'll tell you ours, and we have several scales that we weigh with. And if they're out of balance of 50 pounds, we're out of business. I mean, they're that critical. I'm almost alarmed to hear that is happening. And I think the same people are checking those same scales. I guess they are. Maybe they're not. Maybe they're just doing their own.
But no,
that kind of a difference in 100 miles even. Your truck ought to be lighter if you went 100 miles because of fuel. Well, anyway. Representative Norris.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm sure all of us have heard from some trucking people in advance of today's hearing, and the contacts I've had were three letters and one phone call, all from people in the log hauling business.
You want some more? I got more on my desk.
I'm sure you do. But maybe they were just better informed, or should I reach a conclusion that the log hauling is a real special problem? Most of these people make issue of the fact that they're landing areas where the load is virtually impossible to accurately tell what weight you're carrying. Would you verify or argue with that position?
No, I wouldn't. That's very true. The new electronic scales and the air scales are very accurate, but they do have to have a more or less level spot to weigh them on. And being out of the logging business, I logged for many years, and then going back with some of my drivers in the past few years, it's unbelievable the kinds of roads they pull out of and the kinds of landings that they load on today.
Do they tend to weigh heavy or light, or does that vary with
that,
the...
That would vary.
The density of logs shouldn't vary a great deal. And I realize if you're going from Myrtlewood to Douglas fir, but if you're hauling consistently Douglas fir, one variety of tree, it seemed to me that the density would be essentially the same, and you should be able to estimate fairly accurately just what you're carrying on there. Is that an improper statement to make?
That's very improper.
That's right. The butt cuts weigh a lot more than the other second and third cuts.
The butt cuts weigh a lot more. It depends on what side of the hill you come from. If it's on the north side or the south side, or whether it's down in the swamp. It makes a lot of difference.
Mm-hmm. and the density of hemlock is substantially more than that of Douglas fir. And spruce is even lighter yet.
Right. The old growth spruce.
And cedar, of course.
Well, okay, that's obviously, I didn't know, now I do. One other quick question. There are some violations which points accumulate and eventually you lose your license. Mm-hmm. Is there a point assignment and accumulation and it's overweight, over width, over height thing?
I think Steve can answer that. Representative Norris, would you run that quickly?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Norris, during the interim committee, we had the PUC before us and looked at the records of professional drivers, truck drivers. And they have a driver disqualification rule that they've implemented that basically is kind of like your driver improvement program for our licenses, that if you get one, you get a warning. Two, you have your license taken from you. And three, you cannot have it for a longer period of time. And four, at some point, they finally say you can't drive professionally anymore. So there is a pointed system.
For these kinds of violations. Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
John, you have to get back to Albany.
Yes.
And so I think maybe we better let you go. Unless
could I ask, General, you mentioned a rate system for hauling. What would that be?
I think we should have a rate set in the state of Oregon on a weight basis. Haul so much per pound. As it is today, logs are hauled for whatever you can negotiate the price. Lumber is hauled for whatever you can negotiate a price with the shipper. We have a lot of commodities that are regulated within the state, but we are allowing a lot of brokers trying to get into that business, and the next thing you know, we aren't going to have any rate regulation in the state of Oregon. And I feel as though if we're going to have any kind of weight, great regulation, we should have it on every commodity that's hauled or none at all. Now, I didn't answer your question there, but I think everything should be hauled by the pound. And it wouldn't be a hard thing to do.
Well, John, we have to let you go back and earn a living so you can pay your taxes. So
right.
It was fine. So thank you very much. We appreciate you coming up from Albany this morning.
Thank you very much, Jim.
We have a session at 10:30, and I'd like to give us 10 minutes or so prior to session. I do have, before we call another witness or two witnesses, I do have information from Dave Lutz of the Oregon Department of Transportation, who's a revenue analyst over there, and Steve apparently called him when he, or he's here. Okay, fine. He tells us, why don't you come up, Dave, just briefly for just a short minute and tell us about revenue transfer to the highway fund from the courts.
Mr. Chairman, Dave Lutz, Oregon Department of Transportation. For the last few years, truckload violation fines transferred into the highway fund from the Department of Revenue and from the state court administrator have been a little under $500,000 a year. The courts
get a year or in the biennium?
A year. A little under $1 million a biennium. The courts get to keep half of that. So it would be about double that, something under $2 million.
Oh, I see. We're talking.
A biennium.
$2 million a biennium in total that are fines levied.
Right, truckload violation.
And then the biennium, and then the state share of that in the biennium is $1 million, and $1 million kept by the court.
That's right.
Well, that's very helpful. Any questions?
Yeah.
That's information that we needed today. Thank you. I think since we're running down here, I think I'll call Officer Neely and Robert Graham together, if that's all right. Officer Neely from the Portland Police and Robert Graham from the Multnomah County Sheriff's Department.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's obvious which one is from the Portland Police Bureau. We never do get dressed up, but we do wear blue.
Just identify yourself.
Yeah. I'm Officer Ross Neely, Portland Police Bureau. I am the Bureau's Motor Carrier Safety Enforcement Officer, and also as a way, sometimes classed as a quasi-waymaster. Been in, authorized by the Bureau to come to speak to you today in support of the new House Bill 2060 in regards to the increasing of the fines, fine schedule on the overweights and overdimensionals. Briefly, and I'll try to keep it briefly, we have an extenuating problem in the Portland metropolitan area. Most of our overweights are done through routine patrol. We have no set scales where the truck is brought in and stopped by a mandatory scale opening sign. There are none inside the city of Portland. We have numerous private scales that are state certified that I will take a truck to if I suspect it to be overweight and weigh it to that location. We have a continuous ongoing problem with gross overweights in the city of Portland, and we feel that this bill here would be a deterrent, and not a revenue gatherer, but as a deterrent to reducing some of those overweight problems.
Ross, can I ask you to, can you give me some kind of a an answer on whether those shipments originate in the city and are in our intra-city, or are they from outside the city, intercity?
The biggest problem we have is shipments inside the city that originate inside the city. I.e., the largest problem we have is concrete haulers. They know exactly where their brake line is for their overweights. We're not going to bother any, at least not my department, because I and my partner are the only two officers that are assigned full time to this in the, for the city of Portland, are not going to bother much with anything less than about 3,000 to 5,000 pounds. I'll even let them slide off at 3,000 pounds overweight without a citation. But the average citation that I am writing is 5,000 to 10,000 pounds overweight. And it's a constant problem.
You don't have the wherewithal under the state law, I should know the answer to this, but I don't, to have a city ordinance?
We could. We have acquiesced to the state courts and the state laws. When the Portland did away with their municipal court and it was taken over by the county, which is now controlled by the state, we just dropped enforcement of all local laws and went directly with the state laws. We could, I suppose, reinstitute a weight program for a municipal ordinance problem, but it's another matter of complicating the court systems. We feel that that these violations that are being produced inside the city of Portland, a lot of them, I might say, are coming from outside the city. We're getting transit vehicles through. They feel they're safe once inside the city of Portland. Or they're coming from locations that they will not have to cross a scale, i.e. Malala, Oregon City, Tualatin, Eugene. If the southbound scale or northbound scale is not open, they'll come all the way into the city of Portland from Eugene with overweights.
And they can find out through the CB whether it's open or not.
Very easy. We have a constant problem.
Probably coded even, maybe.
That's one reason I don't put a CB in my car. if I might speak just briefly, I think that's a pretty rough scenario of what we, what our problem here is. My counterpart, Sergeant Graham of the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, I'll let him talk a little bit more, but what I wanted to speak on is the increase of the fine for refusal to submit to overweight. I have two incidences here in, within the last year and a half where I have literally had to threaten the individual with jail to get him to weigh. I can't force that truck to get up on my scales or to follow me to a location where I have a certified scale. I am not about to call out the whole troops and drag the driver off kicking and screaming. It's mainly a bluff to tell you the honest truth, because our jails are full. But when I say to him, in essence, he'll say, "What's the problem? What do I get if I don't do it?" I say, $350 ticket. A lot of them are not fazed by that. If I say a $1,000 ticket, I get their attention, definitely. That, as I think, is a definite need to increase. This is a serious type problem. As police officers, we don't need any more problems out on the street. The second one is the increase and changing of the wording on the overdimensional fines from not less than 10 to more than 50 to by a fine of $100. We have a constant problem. Again, the city of Portland acquiesces to the state overdimensional permit section. If he has a state permit, even though he's operating on a city street, I will usually allow him to proceed without having to go to the trouble and calling and getting a city permit. Our city permits don't cost him anything if it's within a reasonable thing. If they're going to move an oversized load through a narrow city street, well then most of them will get a city permit. But what we have a problem with on the permit problems is that they fail to comply with the provisions of those permits. They're okay, they got the permit to go over width, they got the permit to go over height. We don't care about that, but they fail to put on their pilot cars and their signs, and that's a real problem we have in there. And this, our traffic engineers department has basically instructed me that if they've got a state permit, then that's good enough for the city of Portland, except on extenuating special circumstances. The best I can do for him, if he's coming down the highway, and I just recently personally ran into it myself where I was forced off into the shoulder because of a 14-foot wide blade on a cat coming down the two-lane Portland street without his pilot cars. I didn't see him until I came around a bend in the road, and there he was. And he said, quote, "Well, I'm only taking it a short distance," unquote. He had a full legitimate state permit. But he's allowed to haul without pilot cars on multi-lane highways, but not on the two-lane streets. He failed to do that in the city of Portland. So I think as a deterrent measure, didn't blink an eyebrow, by the way, when they gave him a $36 ticket, because he just puts it in his pocket as part of doing business. But if a $100 fine, period, set, I think that will definitely get their attention.
Are there questions for Mr. Yeah, Representative him.
Just in looking at the fines, and I got the letters from the people initially and looked at the bill and thought, gee, that's quite an increase. It looks to me like we're really wamping it to the people that are blatantly and deliberately overloading.
Yes.
And I'm sympathetic with your problem in Portland with the concrete people, because they know how much they have on.
Right.
They know what they're charging us for, how many yards they're charging and what it is. What ways? Do you see the most of them being? You said that you don't usually go under 3,000, and
I try and be as reasonable as possible to because there is a lot of problems inherent with the city of Portland, i.e., the load is originated in a container, something of that nature, mm-hmm. and we have problems with the companies that are picking up the container. Will fit fine if you got a double axle tractor under it, but it won't. You'll throw 10,000 pounds overweight on a single axle tractor. And that's really a problem, because if that thing blows a tire, breaks a spring or something like that, there's much more of a problem for that truck to cause inside the city of Portland. I mean, when they tip over in our freeways, we've got people all over the place. And when they break down because of weight problems on our freeways, our traffic problem is so intense inside the city of Portland that we are really very concerned about whether or not that truck's going to make it safely through our jurisdiction.
We're running into a bit of a time schedule here. I wonder, was there another question for Mr. Ross? Did you have a question?
It was just a point of clarification for the members. The chairman had raised the issue of local authority over their roads. They clearly are, by statute, they have the ability under 818 to say what kind of vehicles can travel over their roads. So the city does, by statute, have the authority to do a ordinance to regulate what vehicles travel on their roads. Their
we
roads
try road. Not to. I like. As far as the City of Portland and the Police Bureau is concerned, and my feeling is, I have very much quite a bit of sympathy for the trucking industry. There, I think there's a tremendous amount of regulations now. To throw more city ordinance regulations on people, if a guy is overweight out here on I-5, then he should have the same break when he comes into the City of Portland. I don't want to try and hammer him again with some other kind of ordinance. Then that would require us posting all roads, and of course, there's other inherent problems with that. But I feel that we're trying to give him the same break as he can get in Medford as he can in Portland.
Thank you, Mr. Ross. Mr. Graham, would you like to go ahead?
Robert Graham with Multnomah County Sheriff's Office, ladies and gentlemen. I can say basically the same thing about Multnomah County as Ross Neely can say about the City of Portland. Two examples that I'd like to bring out to you folks is a truck that we inspected on the 17th US 30 going into Sobeys Island. And at this time, this truck was legal at 78,000 pounds. We weighed him. He came out 90,400 pounds, 12,400 pounds overweight. Same thing on Airport Way at Ainsworth Circle, which we inspected yesterday. This is a three-axle truck, legal of 50,000 pounds, and he was 18,000 pounds, 400 overweight. We're just having a problem inner city on these guys loading down the trucks, and they're damaging the streets. We would like it increased also, the bail schedule, so that at least if somebody gets the money back, that the streets can be repaired or the proper people can be reimbursed.
Any further questions? Thank you. My inclination, and I'm sorry, the two people that we haven't had up here yet, and I want them here, and I want them so that we can question them at length. And that's Bob Hamilton from OTA and Bob McKellar from Oregon Forest Products Truckers, but they're around here all the time anyway. So I think what we'll do is we'll close for today the public hearing, and we'll bring this back on Tuesday to finish it up, because I think we really need to get everybody's testimony, and I really want to do that. And it's not only just this bill, but this is a subject that needs the committee needs to be brought right up to date on. And we've really, you know, I think done well this morning. I appreciate everybody's time and effort in coming here. So with that, we'll adjourn.